Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Debbie Guy-Giesch, the original revenue marketer, and welcome to WRMR, Power Talk Radio for Revenue Marketing Leaders. You know, I began this radio show in 2008. I can hardly believe it. And after over 100 episodes, my goal remains the same, to facilitate an executive-level discussion on how marketing is changing from being a cost center to a revenue center. And this show really remains unique in that focus. There is a lot of great educational content on the market, but it's really more for operational aspects of marketing. Not so much on how to be a leader in this time of extraordinary change. Now, I invite guests on the show to discuss topics related to two key areas. Number one, how to lead change in a B2B marketing world. And number two, to talk about the elements of that change. And that includes strategy, people, process, technology, customer focus, and results. Now, our show title today is Marketing as a Growth Engine at FTSE Russell. And joining us today are our what I call newbie growth hackers. It's Larry Black and Suzanne Ropetta of FTSE Russell. They will be sharing their journey of transforming marketing from being a cost center to becoming an ROI-centric business partner. As a global marketing organization, Larry and Suzanne work as a 1-2 punch to drive this global transformation. First, we'll hear how Larry develops global strategy and builds alignment with key executives and sales. All of this very instrumental to implementing this new marketing strategy at FTSE Russell. We'll also hear from Suzanne, and again, this will be a back and forth, not he'll speak and then she'll speak. This will be very interactive. And we'll also hear from Suzanne around how she actually operationalizes all the great stuff that Larry thinks up, the global strategy and alignment in terms of key actions and key technologies. And everyone listening, for any marketing leader who is on this revenue marketing journey, this is a must-listen-to show. Now, before we bring our guest on and have them start talking, let me tell you a little bit about them. They really have incredible backgrounds. First of all, Larry. Larry has many years in the financial services space, a really super interesting background. First as a financial journalist in New York, then he was a director at Credit Suisse. He was the SVP and deputy head of marketing and communications at Alliance Bernstein. And now he's the Managing Director, Global Head of Marketing at FTSE Russell. Larry, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Very pleased to be here.
I'm pleased to have you. And now let's talk about Suzanne. Also has an extensive career in financial services. And I love that they're bringing this huge financial services background into this revenue marketing organization. So Suzanne has a really interesting background in that she's got sales, she's got product management, and now she has revenue marketing from an operational perspective. But including in her background, she's been an account executive and the senior product manager at Russell Investments, and now she's the global head of product marketing at FTSE Russell. So Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. So why don't we begin by, let me ask you guys, tell me about your background. And how has your background prepared you to be a revenue marketer? Now, Larry, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, you've mentioned that my background was in journalism. Journalism evolved into financial journalism. And it was, you know, I think it's turned out to be incredibly useful. I mean, I think a lot of our business of marketing these days is about really about storytelling, and that gives me, I think, a really useful background on that in that space. And, you know, when I was a journalist, I was much more sort of fascinated ultimately with the form of journalism rather than necessarily the content. So it's about, you know, ways of delivering that to make it more engaging ultimately to readers at that time, and now obviously to the to the audiences that we're trying to reach. I guess the other piece of my background is really on the financial services side far more recently. And it really has been, I started out and I've been lucky enough to be in firms that I guess, you know, did content-driven marketing, you know, content marketing before it was called that. They were firms that heavily biased towards developing research and thought leadership, and they use that, you know, pre-digitally, if you will, to begin to create that sort of engagement experience with their clients.
And I do think those are two incredibly important areas of your background. I've seen a number of folks who had journalism and really that ability to tell stories, and more importantly, that ability to tell stories because they understand their audience, which really helps marketers understand who their clients are, who their customers are. And then, of course, your ability to you know, use content to tell that story, I think, is even more important. So I can see, Larry, where those two things really help prepare you to be a revenue marketer. Suzanne, what about you? What about your background has helped prepare you to be a revenue marketer?
Sure. So I would say I have a deep background in communications and institutional marketing. And throughout my career, I've seen the transition from very product-focused communications with clients and prospects to a very client-centric way of approaching things. I mean, when you're writing communications, you should always be thinking about the perspective of the person that's reading it. And I think we've always done that, right? So storytelling is a large part of that. But I think what we've seen over time is a real shift away from focusing on an individual product or product set as a solution for clients and really taking a more holistic look at what their needs are. And it's also important to highlight that our clients and prospects are just simply started engaging with us on the financial services side in a different way. Digital engagement is extremely important. It's become the norm, and it's really forced us to think about things from the client perspective. So I would say that you know, my background in communications and really trying to hone the client perspective on things has been a great place to start for the you know, proliferation of our digital program here at FTSE Russell.
And I think you're so spot on with that. You know, a lot of people now are talking about engagement marketing. And it's just another term for understanding your customer and being able to engage with them wherever they are in the digital world or in the live world. So, again, I think having that background helps you really become a better revenue marketer. Let's move to the next question, and I'm very interested in learning more about the marketing challenges at FTSE Russell. What was it, what was happening at FTSE Russell that kind of made you begin this journey toward revenue marketing? Now let's begin with Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I think the initial challenge really around indexes is that they you know, they were kind of a utility, right? I mean, anybody who works in financial services has been aware of them, but they're basically, you know, tells you whether the market was up or down in a single day. And ultimately, I think marketing didn't ultimately have a lot to contribute to what was really just basically a transactional sale of the data. But all that's been, you know, gone through enormous transformation in the last few years, really as a result of changes in the way investing happens. You know, I think the world's moving more and more away from stock picking. I mean, not everybody, obviously, but sort of large portions of the population are moving away from stock picking and moving more into passive investment. I mean, I'm sure some people on the call have heard of smart beta and how that's kind of changing the way investment markets operate. And in that context, we've really changed from, as I say, being sort of that kind of utility to kind of being sort of the intel inside in the financial markets. You know, I mean, it's still, you know, it's a complex place. Our customer base is complex. We have a lot of different types of segments we're speaking to. A lot of our business is ultimately indirect, and a lot of where we've seen, you know, a big pickup in what we're doing is around co-marketing. And, you know, adding to that complexity ultimately is the fact that in some ways on this whole smart beta trend, we're on both sides of the market. You know, our traditional audiences are some of those large active managers whose job it is to be very clever about generating alpha, if you will, in their portfolios. On the other side, you know, we are the enablers of this move to passive, and making sure that we keep those stories straight and discreet has been a challenge.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of things there that were some of the challenges that you guys were having. You went from being really a transactional sale to really more of a more complex sale, having a more complex audience, and certainly doing that on a global basis. And so the role of marketing changed to really support the new way that customers were engaging with you. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, marketing, in this business is really largely around sort of enabling our sales teams, right? You know, giving them the collateral they needed to have their meetings and, helping them out organizing events where they could make contacts. Mm-hmm. And really, it's transformed enormously as that model has changed, as the way we relate to our clients has changed.
Okay. And Suzanne, how would you answer that question? What kind of marketing challenges did you see that precipitated revenue marketing journey?
Well, I would say that one of the, in thinking about your question about challenges, I immediately think, oh, well, what are the challenges and the opportunities that we have as a result? I think one of the areas that has been challenging, but also a great opportunity, is the fact that we are a global business in growth mode. I mean, we integrated the FTSE indexes and the Russell indexes in 2015, and since then we've incorporated an additional business into our world, and we're in the process of integrating with another business at the moment. So it's really important for us to have a strong, scalable infrastructure. And the nice thing about marketing is when there's all of this change happening across the business, we are a solid touch point for everybody. We're working with all the different groups and helping facilitate communication across those groups as well. So I would say that sort of infrastructure, having a solid scalable infrastructure has been important for us and will continue to be important for us in the future as we continue to grow. I would also say that the marketing as a communication hub is really important because we, as I mentioned, are very sort of in the middle of center of things. When things are swirling around the business through integration, we can sort of be the calm in the storm and help share information across the business.
That is really interesting. So Larry, let me come back to you and ask a couple of follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm.
Did the revenue marketing journey begin quickly, kind of like a overnight kind of thing, like, oh my goodness, we have to do this? Or did it begin slowly over time?
I think slowly, you know, I think is the right way to think about it. I think, you know, we're in a situation like many others where you know, marketing had a defined place within what was ultimately a very much a sales-led organization. But, you know, I think as Suzanne says, you know, our business has changed. It's growing enormously quickly. And I think there was a realization, two or three years ago. I mean, we were doing all the right things on the marketing side, sort of saying, you know, that we needed to take a much more client-centric focus, talking about becoming better at measuring what we were doing and how important marketing was, not just to looking at success of individual tactics, but really talking about where the organization could be going and where opportunities were. So we were doing all that, but I think at some point, you know, the realization came that we needed, as Suzanne said, to do this at scale, an acknowledgement that we needed to scale up our marketing efforts. We didn't have enough salespeople out there to touch every one of these, you know, thousands and thousands of clients we needed to touch. And we, you know, once you get that kind of framework in mind, that we need to be up there, ultimately, yes, providing air cover, if you will, for the sales efforts on the ground, but much, much more than that, that we needed to be a touch point on our own between, you know, the products you had to sell and the audiences that we needed to reach. And that started the transformation. I mean, another key element to that was really clients. A lot of our key clients, we've seen a real transformation in how they relate to index providers. In the old days, we were basically, I don't want to overstress this, but kind of order takers in the sense that people needed an index to create to follow a certain market, and we would create it for them. And that whole model has changed. They're expecting us as an organization to help them, upstream, if you will, understand the marketplace, understand where there's opportunity for new products, and really work with them to develop that. And marketing clearly has a role in helping with that, but at least as important, sort of downstream, where once a product is out there in the marketplace, they are looking for marketing support. And so this, what we were seeing is every large sales negotiation ended up, we got pulled into it because a bigger and bigger piece of the ask, and ultimately the tipping point in a lot of these conversations was, what kind of co-marketing support can you provide for us?
That is absolutely fascinating because, quite often in many organizations, marketing only plays one part, and it's the beginning part. It's really not a inclusive, it's just one small part, but I could see where the co-marketing would be extremely important. I'm going to come back to that, but I'm going to backstep because, Suzanne, you said something that really caught my attention. And that really has to do with the additional companies that FTSE Russell is buying or merging with. I typically see that marketing has all kinds of, how shall we put it? It's not always a good thing when a company is buying additional companies. But it seems to me, based on what you said, that marketing is somewhat the glue, the communications glue, a structure, a framework that's kind of helping those integrations at some point. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how the current marketing structure that you and Larry have put together, how that's helping facilitate some of those new acquisitions?
Sure. So we, as mentioned, we are a global organization. We are organized in a matrix fashion. So we work with colleagues around the world. A day, a typical day is working with Europe. For at least for me, a typical day is working with Europe in the morning. New York.
Fun. That's fun being in Seattle, right?
Yes. So I'm based in Seattle.
These guys start very early.
Yeah. We start early in the morning, speaking with our colleagues in Europe. And then we move to our New York team, and then they get quiet a little bit in the afternoon. Then we move on to our Asia Pac team later in the evening. And I think, what's interesting for me, I was traditionally on the Russell Indexes side. We were very domestically focused. So since the integration of FTSE and Russell, one of the more interesting things for me has been to be very focused globally, because it really does force you to think about putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. So even if it's an internal conversation, you might be speaking with a product or research person outside of your region. Their view is different. Their view of the world is different. And it's very interesting to be in a place where you really are thinking globally about what people are interested in, what clients are caring about in different parts of the world. There are lots of, as Larry mentioned, we have a variety of audience bases with a very diverse clientele. And I think one of the things that's really interesting to me is there are certainly challenges in the way we're organized, but I would say at the end of the day, we have great opportunity to really have a much bigger view on what our clients need from us from around the globe, and in marketing, you're in a great position to capture that information, and then use it to be a better marketing organization.
And so when it comes to bringing another company on board, right, mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. does marketing serve a new acquisition?
Well, I think it depends on the business that we're acquiring, right? I mean, I think that's sort of the first point. I mean, We have all of the sort of regular conversations about who's the target audience for these products. Is it different than what we currently are offering? How can they fit into our portfolio more broadly? From a brand perspective, what should we be thinking about? How do we integrate them into the culture and make them feel, you know, welcome and part of the team? And ultimately, you know, how can we work together to be a better data solution provider to our clients? I don't know, Larry, if you have anything to add there, but I think that's at least from my perspective what I'm thinking about when we're integrating with a new business.
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of aspects to that, and I think Suzanne touched on some of the sort of operational and cultural ones. I mean, you know, just the brand, at the end of the day, you know, that is going to really determine how successful a lot of these integrations are, essentially, whether the brand really, you know, and how effectively we integrate those brands, you know, is going to determine whether people feel part of this new culture and whether, more importantly, ultimately, our clients understand how these organizations fit together, and making sure that the clients of the acquired company really feel very much like there's a real value add here. You know, we do a lot of annual surveys, and it's just interesting to watch how, you know, the trepidation initially on the part of some clients about consolidation. And then, you know, it's our job as marketers ultimately to help them understand the value that this is actually a positive thing for them. So that's been a big piece.
So let me ask you this question. When you think about the fact that you have a fairly mature revenue marketing practice, you've been doing this for a while, you understand how to do it, you have a structure to do it. Whenever you guys engage with another organization, do you find that your revenue marketing practice and your view of the role of marketing is at par with what they have? Are you a little bit further along on the journey than they are? And how do they respond to that?
You know, it varies obviously by the companies that come together. Obviously the big story for us was really Russell, you know, the Russell Indexes and FTSE coming together to form a company. And there, it was incredibly complementary. Russell on the Russell side, they'd done an enormous amount of work around, you know, marketing operations, if I can put it that way, about, you know, the basic sort of infrastructure in place to sort of operationalize, you know, revenue marketing or operationalize lead generation, demand generation. They had also had, you know, a very strong kind of market research capability. And it was one in the middle of the merger that was in question as to whether we were going to, you know, retain that. There's obviously all these mergers end up with synergy demands on the company. And I think we did a really excellent job of showing at that point the value in that operation, and it's paid off in spades for the company. It's, you know, that the metrics underlying all of what we do have been, you know, absolutely critical to making the case along the way. You know, having data, I mean, yeah, obviously it's hugely important that there's alignment between marketing and sales, and we'll probably hopefully talk a little bit about that. But at the end of the day, the value, you know, the demonstrating value, and we, you know, we're an index company, we're a data-driven company. Having that data and that capability of measuring success and understanding our clients has probably been ultimately the most important thing that's helped us push this change.
I love that the culture of the company is actually the same culture within marketing. I think that's great. I want to move to the next question. And it's really when we were talking, Larry, in the pre-interview, it's really a big part of your job. And that's managing change. Because clearly the role of marketing has changed, continues to change within FTSE Russell as you continue on this revenue marketing journey. So what have been some of the most important elements of your journey in terms of managing that change?
Yeah, I mean, we've touched a bit on it. I mean, I think, and this is, everybody says this, but, you know, sales alignment is really been critical. I mean, alignment across the organization, and we made some major progress last year in doing that. But, you know, and the key to doing that, you know, once again, I think you can spend a lot of time trying to sort of say what products we want to sell. You know, but it was only when we turned it around and really took a client-focused approach to how we think about not just marketing campaigns, but really the whole, how we prioritize the efforts of the organization. It was only then that alignment made complete sense. And once again, it was marketing and sales, but it was also our product people and our research teams and what have you. And as I say, that has probably been the one thing that's really been critical in terms of helping my colleagues in management understand the value of this approach. And it's, you know, I don't want to say we're the people who won everybody over to that notion of thinking about client segments first before we think about products. You know, we have a very clever chief executive who's very good at thinking about, through these things, and we've been a really major contributor to that.
Well, I want to give you
the organization acknowledges that.
Larry, I want to give you guys a big bravo for that. I work with companies every day who couldn't be client centric if their life depended on it. It is a shame as we sit in 2017, and the fact that at FTSE Russell. And I always tell people the way you get alignment is to focus on the customer, and then everything falls into place. And you guys have executed that so beautifully at FTSE Russell. So congratulations.
Well, thank you. I mean, it really has. You're completely right. That, to my mind, is when it all fell into place and when, you know, the role of marketing became clear within the organization. And all of a sudden there was genuine excitement and our budgets have increased. Essentially, and you know, all the right things have been happening, and I think that was the key to it. I mean, it'd be good, you know. Let me have Suzanne talk about it because she's been the one who's really been at the front end of that in terms of actually on the ground leading that kind of alignment effort. You know, with our teams, our colleagues.
Sure. My role is to manage the team of campaign leads who promote the themes that we as a business decided that we were going to be focused on. And we have marketers in different offices around the world with different focus areas. We run global campaigns. So it's been interesting to see, I mean, each marketing a person on my team, everybody on the marketing team has obviously embraced this idea of being very client-centric, but I do think that our role in marketing is to remind people of that. I mean, I feel like everybody is absolutely 100% engaged in being client-driven, but at the end of the day, people end up talking about product, right? And so our job in marketing is to remind people that the client is the most important a part of the conversation, and we need to tailor our communications and our outreach and our digital activity very specifically to the clients that have engaged with us on certain topics. So we've gotten very good at wearing multiple hats in marketing because I think we always do that. But we ask our campaign leads to run global campaigns. Well, what does that mean? That doesn't mean sending an email globally on your topic. What it means is really developing a strategy for targeting a segment, making sure that you've got the very specific list of people that you'd like to cultivate, engage in your content on a particular topic. And I think, you know, we run campaigns across all the digital channels. So certainly, you know, email, web, social marketing activity. We also run digital advertising programs as part of our campaign plans. Events are a large part of what we do. Relationships are obviously very important in delivering our story to clients and prospects and partners. And you know, thinking about ways to tie our digital activity to our physical activity is sort of an interesting thing for us to be thinking about. I think that since we've come together as an index business in 2015, we now are in a position to, we've built our infrastructure. The digital infrastructure is incredibly important, getting alignment across the business from sales using the CRM system in the proper way to marketing, establishing KPIs that, that we have internally as a team that we're using to make changes to our programs quickly and nimbly, ideally, and then the KPIs that we're reporting out to the rest of the business around what it is we're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that the measurement piece of what we're doing is in place. The digital infrastructure for how we gather those metrics is in place. And right now, I think that we're focusing more and more on this idea of experimentation and innovation in marketing. Trying new things and measuring new things and reporting out on those things and sharing that information across the team and across the business is really important. And pushing people to think outside the box. I feel like we're now in a position on our team to do that. And so that's what I'm trying to sort of really instill, this culture of experimentation and thinking outside the box and capturing things that are working and continuing to do those things, but not being afraid to fail in a way in order to push the envelope a little bit. So that's what I'm trying to manage with my team.
Suzanne, I love that. I don't hear words like experimentation and innovation enough on a revenue marketing team. So kudos to you and your team for doing that. It's exciting. This is how you become agile. This is how you become growth drivers or growth hackers. You experiment, you innovate. You keep on doing what's working and you get rid of stuff that does not work. I love hearing that. I have a follow-up question with you, and then Larry, I have a follow-up question to your about managing. But Suzanne, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
How do you guys know what your clients want? Where do you get that data?
Well, we get it from a variety of sources. So we measure on our website, the client companies that come to our website. So we're looking at who's coming to our site. We're looking at where they're going. We're also looking at engagement metrics around our thought leadership and content. So really trying to understand what themes are interesting to our clients. We cultivate lists of hand raisers, so people who have engaged with us on a particular topic. Are categorized and put into a nurture campaign, if you will. And one of our goals is to be continually growing those lists. Absolutely. It's all about the data. It's all about gathering the metrics around engagement
You don't go to a salesperson and say, what do you think our clients want? Good for you.
Oh,
okay.
No. Well, we do that too.
Yeah.
We do that too. Of course. They are another source of information. No question about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's an important piece of this, and that was one of the things I was hoping Suzanne was going to speak about. Was really about engaging sales, but not, you know, I like that piece of marketing or not. It's really in a structured way about getting them involved at the ground floor and understand, you know, trying to, you know, these guys deal with clients every day. And if we can get them in the right kind of process in a workshop format where they're sitting there debating ideas, we can actually get them to help us understand client needs.
I was kind of making a joke, but I completely agree. I will tell you right now, without a doubt, when marketers engage salespeople as they begin this journey, I promise you they will be successful. I've seen it. When they do not engage with sales, when they don't make sales part of this transformation, part of this journey, they just won't be successful. I've just seen it in company after company after company. I want to return to the elements of managing change. And one of the things that I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in is, Larry, how do you manage up? Because you've talked about managing across, but how do you manage up? For example, I recently presented to a group of CEOs and CFOs, and I talked about revenue marketing, and it kind of like blew their brains apart because they really had never considered marketing as a growth driver for their organizations. So as you began this journey about marketing, how did you manage up?
Well, you know, I mean, the people running the company are people who are interested in revenue. And I think, you know, every conversation one way or another, because that is usually the rap on marketing, right, is that marketing is out there doing its own stuff and is not necessarily the most kind of commercially aware group within the firm, that we're not focused on the bottom line. And it's just been an important, you know, conversation. Every conversation is about that, you know, our annual sales goals, I say over and over again, are our sales and marketing goals, right? We're on the hook as much as the sales guys are for delivering those numbers. And every presentation to the executive board, you know, every kind of committee meeting, you know, marketing just cannot be out there talking about the number of clicks we got, right? It's really got to be a conversation about, you know, here's how far along we are in the road to showing that we are an ROI center, right? It's that, you know, we may not be perfect yet because we can't measure that, or that we, here's a new tactic and we haven't got data on it yet. But the whole structure of what we're doing is about driving revenues. That's why we're here, and that's why we're an investment. And if you don't,
I love that.
You don't drive that home, you will always be treated as a cost center.
Yep, I completely agree. You can't go into a senior committee meeting. You can't talk to, you know, the executive committee. You can't talk to the CEO, the CFO. If you can't talk about revenue, change will never happen. Yeah, absolutely true. All right, guys, one last question. And I could talk to you forever because I just love this conversation.
Well, this has been really fascinating.
But what advice would you give the marketing leader just beginning their journey? And I'm going to start with Suzanne, and I'd like to close with Larry. So, Suzanne, what advice would you give to the marketing leader just beginning the journey?
Well, I would say that it's really important that aligning with your sales organization on shared objectives around what we're going to do to drive revenue. I mean, I think shifting from a product-focused organization to a client-driven organization is, I mean, that's a solid foundation for that conversation. So I would say that if you can successfully align with your sales organization to develop a program that supports the client, and all of your campaign activity is really geared around the client, and you're working together to drive that, I think that would be my advice. Because I will say that if you don't have that, it's very, very hard to implement your vision. And we've been very fortunate, I would say, because our leadership has been very supportive of this approach, and our sales teams are engaged, and what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, we're making sure they have insight and transparency into, and vice versa. So being well aligned with sales, I would say, is your most important first step in this process.
Okay, thank you. And Larry, what would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, certainly my experience, every organization is different and there are different levers you're going to, you know, use anywhere else. But I mean, in terms of somebody just starting down this road, I think the thing you have to keep your eye on is the reality that the world is really moving in our direction, that you have all of the right things moving in our favor, right? I mean, in terms of buying habits, in terms of demographics, in terms of the technology we have at our disposal, our ability to measure and prove out what we're doing. And that's really important. You know, it can be discouraging along the way where you feel like you're making a very articulate case for this and it's not resonating. At the end of the day, every organization I've been in has come around to this, right? And it's your job to get them there faster, ultimately. And so I think that, you know, ultimately the best thing to do is really ultimately as you're walking through all that, is really, you know, stay close to your salespeople, as Suzanne was saying, stay close to your product people, you know, but also it's really important that you keep your eye on what's happening outside your company and on what, you know, how marketing is evolving as a whole. And, you know, there's the experiences of others are hugely helpful, right? If you can sort of show that somebody else has managed to crack this problem elsewhere You can see how others have presented a compelling case for what they're doing. That's invaluable, and I've just found that enormously useful.
I think that's absolutely true, especially when you're managing up.
Yep.
So, Larry, Suzanne, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. I could have talked to you guys for about 2 hours, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
And for all our listeners, thank you for being with us today. You can listen to replays at Revenue Marketer Radio, download from iTunes, or listen from our Pedowitz Group Facebook page. Thanks, and remember, everybody, it is a great day to be a revenue marketer, and we'll see you next time.